Chapter 1, A Chance Encounter. Crud. His hand hit the dashboard as he said it. I can't stand this car. That about sums up Michael Jones's life. Crud. And he can't stand it. 40 years old, a wife of 15 years he doesn't know how to connect with, and two kids he barely knows. Add to that a boring job that doesn't challenge him and hardly pays the bills. In a word, crud. Where had his life gone? Out of college, he and his wife, Amy, had been so filled with dreams. Their lives were ahead of them, and nothing seemed impossible. They were full of potential and wanted to do so much, but now they were nowhere near where they had hoped to be. Michael loved Amy, but it just wasn't what it could be. They had grown apart through the years, and he had no idea how to fix it. The kids are great, but again, there was just no connection with them like he thought normal families should have. And his job, definitely not what he wanted. A man his age making $40,000 a year with no upside? This was hardly what he had imagined for his life. It was what it was, and it seemed like he was stuck. Stuck with a dead-end job and poor relationships. This wasn't the success and happiness he and Amy had planned for. But his life was about to change. This car is the worst, he thought as it convulsed and finally died. Going about 30 miles an hour when it stopped running, he guided it as it coasted to a stop along the road. He was on his way to a sales call, and he had never taken this road before. It was a long, winding road that acted as a shortcut between two major roads. Not many houses on this road, he observed. After the car rolled to a stop, Michael got out and walked around the car. It wasn't as though he would be able to tell what was wrong from walking around. He knew zero about cars. He knew how to put gas in it, turn the key over, and that was about it. No smoke, he thought, and that has to be good. He popped the hood and looked at the engine. All the wires seemed connected. All the caps were on. He didn't have any idea what to do. I should have taken auto shop class in high school, he thought. Michael reached inside his jacket for his cell phone. He figured he could call a mechanic friend he knew and see if he could get some help. He flipped the phone open and saw the worst. No cell coverage there. Just my luck, he said out loud. They can put a man on the moon and clone a sheep, but they can't put a cell site up where I need it. He looked around trying to decide which way to start walking. Up ahead, about 200 feet, was a bend in the road, and he couldn't see what was further on, so he decided to go that way, just hoping there might be a house beyond the bend. As he walked, he kicked the gravel along the road. Frustrated, alone, and stuck. That's how he felt right now, about this situation and life in general. As he turned the corner, Michael came across something he had never seen in real life before. Sure, he'd seen many in magazines and on TV, but never something like this with his own eyes. Nice pad. Michael found himself standing in front of the most beautiful home he'd ever seen. Home may not even be the right word for it. Right at the roadside was a huge gated entrance. The large brick and wrought iron fence stretched at least 500 feet along the roadside, and the gate was at least 10 feet high. Behind the gate was a house that had to be over 10,000 square feet. It was a white plantation style that had 12 two-story pillars across the front, which made sense, since the sign at the side of the gate said 12 pillars. It was magnificent. Michael stood in front of the gate for a few minutes, just looking in awe at the structure. Finally, he snapped back to reality and realized that he had to get his car fixed. He didn't see any other houses nearby, but he didn't know how to get to the house in front of him either. Just then he saw an old man in white coveralls emerge from what looked like a workshop just to the right of the driveway. The old man walked toward the gate. When he got about 25 feet from the gate, the old man spoke. "Can I help you, young man?" I hope so. My car broke down, and I can't call anyone because my cell phone doesn't work out here. Can I borrow a phone?" "Well, why don't you let me take a look at the car first? Maybe I can fix it." The old man was about 70, Michael figured, about 5'11", medium build, pretty good shape it looked like. He was obviously the caretaker for the mansion. The old man opened the gate with a push of a button on a remote he pulled from his coveralls. When he walked through, he asked Michael where the car was. "Just back around the bend," he said, pointing back down around the road. The old man stuck his hand out and introduced himself. "Charlie's my name. What's yours?" "Michael. Nice to meet you." As they walked, Charlie prodded for more information. "What kind of business are you in?"
"Sales."
"You make a good living at that?"
"No, not really."
The old man was silent for a moment and then asked, "Do you have a wife and kids?"
"Yes, a wife, two kids."
"Well, that's good." When they reached the car, Charlie popped the hood and looked around, fiddling with wires.
"Let me try to start her," Charlie said.
Michael gave Charlie the keys and he turned it over a few times, but it wouldn't start.
The gas gauge read half, but Charlie suspected that it was broken, and the problem was that Michael was out of gas. "Well, everything seems to be in order, so I'm betting that you're out of gas and your gas gauge is just broken. Let's go get some gas from the workshop." They began to walk back to the workshop together. As they passed through the gates, Michael asked about the house and the owner. "So, who owns the house?" "One Mr. Davis owns that house. Built it 20 years ago with his wife. Very successful businessman. Owns a bunch of different businesses. He has his hands in a lot of different things."
"Must be quite successful. How big's the house?"
14,000 square feet in the main house. You can't see it, but there's a pool and a pool house that's about another 4,000 square feet, and a 1,500 square foot guest cottage in the back."
"Wow," Michael replied. "He must have a lot of money."
"Yep, it's something all right, but Mr. Davis isn't just about the money. He prides himself on being successful in everything in life. Life is more than just money."
"That's easy to say if you have some," Michael said.
"I can see that. But Mr. Davis was successful before he got his money. In fact, you see those pillars along the front of the house? Each one represents a different area of success that Mr. Davis says is important for life. He built the house that way to represent his philosophy on life."
"Oh, yeah? That's pretty cool, I guess."
Just then, they arrived at the workshop. "Would you like a cup of coffee?" Charlie asked. "I just brewed a pot before I saw you standing at the gate."
"Sure, I'll take a cup."
Michael looked around. The workshop was almost as big as his house. It had every tool you could possibly imagine.
"How do you like your coffee?"
"Oh, black, thanks," Michael replied. Charlie poured the cup and then brought it to him.
"There you go."
"Thanks." Michael took a sip and looked out the window at the main house. "I sure would love to be that successful."
"I'm sure you could be if you wanted to," Charlie said.
"Well, I've given it my best shot the last 18 years, and it sure doesn't seem to have done much."
"You've worked hard, have you?" Charlie asked.
"I've worked very hard, harder than most. I work long hours, work overtime, everything."
"Well, that may be your problem," Charlie suggested.
"Working hard is a problem?" Michael asked, looking confused.
"No, working hard isn't a problem in and of itself, but Mr. Davis always says that the first pillar of success is to work harder on yourself than you do on your job."
"I don't get it," Michael said.
"Mr. Davis has those 12 pillars of success I was telling you about. The first one he talks about is personal development. Success comes where you develop yourself beyond where you currently are. So you have to work harder on yourself, improving yourself, than you do on your job.
But I was always told that if you work hard, keep your nose to the grindstone, and eventually you'll get ahead. That isn't true?"
"Not exactly. You see, you will get the job in the company and the salary that goes with it that you deserve because of the level of skill you have. So you can work as hard as you want, long hours and everything, but as long as you stay at the same skill level, you'll never go beyond that level of pay and promotion."
"So how do I get ahead?"
"You start working on yourself," Charlie said.
"Maybe I don't get it," Michael said, taking another sip of coffee.
"Okay, let me explain," Charlie offered. "You say you're in sales, right?"
"Yeah."
"Okay, you make a certain amount of money based on how good a salesman you are. You can work harder and harder, but you will only make so much because you are only so good. The key is to become a better salesman. The way to do that is not to put in 5 more hours of work on your job. It's to start putting more work into yourself, Michael. Work harder on yourself than you do on your job."
"So how do I do that?"
"Read books, attend seminars, study the best salespeople, and then apply the information. Implement what you learn. Work on integrating the ideas into your everyday work. That way, when you make the same 10 sales calls each day, you get more sales because you're a better salesman."
"Okay, so what else does Mr. Davis say about personal development?"
Charlie chuckled.
"Well, he says a lot of things, Michael.
So give me some. I need all the help I can get."
"Why do you think you need so much help?"
"Well, I'm stuck. I loathe my job. I feel like I have no upside. I don't feel like I provide very well for my family. My car breaks down on the side of the road. You name it. I need help making my life better. I work so hard, and I still just seem to be spinning my wheels."
The words spilled out so fast it surprised even Michael.
"Well, since you put it that way, let me think."
Charlie paused and looked up at the ceiling. After a few moments, he raised his right index finger.
"Here's one for you," he said. "Let me make sure I get it right now. Mr. Davis says, every life form seems to strive to its maximum, except human beings. How tall will a tree grow?
As tall as it possibly can.
Human beings, on the other hand, have been given the dignity of choice. They can choose to be all or they can choose to be less. Why not stretch up to the full measure of the challenge and see all that you can do?"
Charlie smiled, proud that he got it just right.
"But I have tried," Michael protested.
"I'm not suggesting that you haven't. Maybe you have. The idea is that most people quit. Maybe you've given up, Michael.
That's my impression, anyway.
With all due respect, it sounds as though you've worked hard, found that you're stuck, and perhaps have given up. Maybe it's time to stretch and grow again. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I just want things to change for me and my family. Charlie stood up and began to walk to the back door. Come with me. We'll get you some gas, and on the way back to the car, I'll give you one last thing to think about. Charlie and Michael went out and got a gas can, filled it, and walked back to the car. Once they were there, Charlie took the few gallons of gas he had brought and poured it into the tank. Give it a try, Michael. From inside the car, Michael turned the key and pumped the accelerator. After a few seconds, the engine came to life. I can't believe it, he thought. I guess I should get that gauge fixed. There was a knock at the window. Michael rolled it down and looked up at Charlie. Thanks a lot, Michael said. I'm a little embarrassed running out of gas and all. What do I owe you for the gas? Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. Consider it a gift from Mr. Davis. Okay, Michael said, smiling. I will. Tell him thanks for me. You know, I owe you one more piece of Mr. Davis's advice, Charlie said as he leaned down closer to Michael. Oh, yeah. What is it? Michael was excited. You say you want things to change for you and your family, right? Yes, I really do. Mr. Davis says that the only way things are going to change for you is when you change. What are you going to change that will in turn change your life? If you keep on living like the way you are now, you will continue to produce the same life that you already have. That's the way it works. Michael just stared out over the front of the car. His mind was racing. There were lots of things that he wanted to change. There were lots of things he knew he needed to change. Charlie slapped the side of the car and said, "Okay, that's it for one day. You think on that, Michael. Then you feel free to stop on by sometime, and I'll tell you more about Mr. Davis's pillars of success." He handed Michael a business card that simply read Charlie on it, with a number. That's my workshop number, the best way to get a hold of me. Call the next time you're coming through. I will, Michael said, I will. He smiled and put the car into drive and added, hop in and let me give you a lift to the gate. No thanks, I need the exercise, but I do have one last thing, Charlie said. What's that? Get that gas gauge fixed, Charlie said with a grin. That you can be sure of, Michael said as he started to pull away. Charlie stood and watched Michael drive away. Nice boy, he thought. I hope he does come again.